Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Alexis. I would just like to say thank you so much for the feedback I got from episode one. I was really, really grateful, and I want you to please keep telling your form tutors your opinions and your thoughts on the podcast. If you have any thing that you think should be talked about or anything that you think I've missed, please mention it, because I do get that feedback and it really does matter for me. I will say, some feedback that I got last time, I'm really sorry for one of the students that I spoke to in one of Miss Het's art classroom, who said that they liked some video because they thought it might be easier to concentrate and listen if they could see something. I'm really sorry, but we can't do that. I did see if it could be done, and I've ended up also agreeing that it probably wouldn't be best. So we're just sticking with audio for now, but that's easy for me because it makes editing a dream. And I have another notice that I'd like to mention is there's a grief group or a counselling group that has been started in our sixth form, which has been hosted by Isla. I would just like to say, if you think that that's something that you think you would benefit from, please speak to your form tutors or maybe your pastoral leaders and see if you can get a referral, because she's really lovely, and I think it's a really great environment. And if you think that you might need a little bit more support in some areas of loss, it would be a really great place to just relax and feel a little bit more seen, I think. But today, our very lovely new special guest is Mr. Carter, one of our lovely science teachers. He is here today to talk about the armed forces. I would also like to mention, we were going to have another guest, Molly, who is one of my cohort members of sixth form, but she can't make it today. So I have written down some questions that I've asked her, and at some point I'll be reading out her answers. Okay, so my first question to you, Mr. Carter, is I have heard that you used to be a part of the armed forces. Can you please tell us a bit about what you used to do?
Yeah, I was. For 2011, I joined the RAF, and I joined as a chef. Mm. So I spent 9 weeks doing sort of basic military training, and then 4 months doing a really advanced NVQ in catering and hospitality. And then, yeah, spent the next 8-9 years-ish making sure everybody was well fed.
Lovely. And you say NVQ. What was that?
It's a qualification equivalent to 3 A levels.
I was
going to
say A level kind of qualification.
Yeah, something like that.
That's very cool.
But yeah, so you get the military qualifications as well as civilian qualifications that you can put on a CV and use outside of the military as well.
Did that lead you straight into teaching?
It did not lead me straight into teaching. It did not. Teaching was a whole side quest that I didn't see coming. I'll be honest, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I left school. I was in a bit of a position where I didn't do particularly well at GCSE, and I needed to do something. The Air Force seemed like a very good place to be, and it was. But during it, I realised that I think I wanted to just be a little bit more settled. And I met my now wife, who was training to be a teacher at the time, and I think she convinced me that I could probably be not too terrible at teaching. So I went away and did the qualifications and things I needed to become a teacher while I was in the Air Force.
Oh, and do they pay for things like that?
They didn't. They can do. There are some avenues where they will pay for qualifications. But the one I wanted to do, I'm a bit of a space nerd, so it was a degree in planetary science and astrophysics. They weren't going to pay for that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do pay for some degrees when I was looking into it. Along the lines of education, one of a pathway that I looked into, which unfortunately isn't a pathway anymore, but I heard from some family friends that an education officer might be a good path for me, because I want to get into teaching eventually anyway. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore, but it just proves there are so many careers in the armed forces and in the military that aren't necessarily troops, or, you know, you're on the ground or in the air. There's a lot more to it. And I think one of the main points of this episode today is to raise awareness of that. You know, if you're not too sure what you want to do, but you still really want to make a difference, armed forces could potentially be a really good route for people who are looking for that stability and structure. I would just like to talk about some of the questions that I asked Molly. So I asked Molly what inspired her to want to be a part of the armed forces. So when she leaves A-levels, she's planning on joining. She said that her family, most of her family are in the military, and they had really good careers while they were in the military, and they received a lot of support after the military, and they continued on with very successful careers after as well. And then I asked her what part of the armed forces she wants to join, and she says that she wants to be an RAF regiment officer, which is where she'll be a specialist in operations, supplying, commanding, while also being on the ground and in the air, which I think is very impressive. And she'll also be doing tactical strategizing and evaluating situations to brief troops. I asked her how she's planning on doing this and what she needs to become an officer. And she says to become an officer, you need a minimum of 5 GCSEs at grade C, a minimum of 2 A-levels at a grade C, and a minimum of 64 UCAS points, which UCAS points, if you don't know, UCAS points are basically just a numerical value for all of the grades that you achieve after you're 16. She'll also need to meet the minimum of 12 years of service, and then the health and fitness criteria as well to pass the fitness test. I asked her if there's any other pathways that she considered, and she said that she also considered going into the firefighting regiment, which is also an option, which honestly I didn't know that it was. That was in the RAF as well. She also wanted me to add a little note that says you can still make a difference in the military other than being a soldier, and she's really excited for what her future holds, which I think is a really good message as well to mention as well. You know, if you're not too sure about your future, you can still be excited about it. There's no reason why you can't. And I think that's something people miss quite a lot as well. You know, the future, it is exciting. It can be worrying, but, you know, you ended up here.
Someone was talking about something similar. And they said, if you were to sit down with a pen and paper and try and plan every single meal for the next 40 years of your life, you would just go insane. Mm. So sometimes things are not able to be planned. Sometimes things just happen. And I think careers is a really nice example that sometimes you don't have to or necessarily need to have an entire career path planned out to be excited about doing something. Mm. And you never know when you get started what opportunities may come up in wherever you end up working. Mm. And I think it's always good to be open-minded and keen and always looking out for opportunities. But you don't necessarily need to have a written plan for the next 40 years of your life.
Yes, I agree. I love that your metaphor there was also meal related.
Of course.
Do you use quite a lot of your chef know-how in your everyday life, do you think, other than cooking?
Other than cooking, not particularly. I am the sole cooker, chef.
Chef.
I don't like to use the word chef outside of, but at home. So yeah, the kids get a pretty good diet at home.
Yeah. What do you think your favourite meal that you've made in the RAF?
I do remember. I'd like to point out at this point that I certainly was not a Michelin star chef. We weren't there to to provide banquets, although that was part of it. Most of our day-to-day was feeding for lots of people, yeah, particularly when I was deployed to the Falklands. There was about 7 of us on shift, and we would be feeding upwards of 1,000 to 1,200 people. So we didn't really have the luxury of making particularly fancy dishes. But I make a pretty mean chili.
Oh, I love a bit of chili.
Yeah, if I had to, you know, really go, you put me in a chili competition.
Are you with rice or like tortilla chips? So me personally, it would be rice.
Yeah, I think rice. I think rice. Tortillas is a good choice though.
Mm.
Chili nachos.
With like guacamole.
Four works.
Mm. Yeah, that's what, and so they had chili then.
Not every day. I had to keep it a little bit varied. We often give them 5 different choices. They had every day. They had 5 different things they could pick from.
Oh, that's a pretty good option. Yeah,
pretty good. And they didn't pay for it.
It's quite like canteen with the lines.
It's exactly like the canteen with lines. Exactly the same.
Mm. Yeah. Deja vu when you're on canteen duty.
Yeah. Although I will say you guys are much better at keeping that place clean than the people I used to feed were. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's an award there. Put that on the doors, maybe. Congratulations, everyone. Mr. Carter has awarded you with cleanliness.
You're cleaner than 1,000 soldiers. Well done.
Was it just the soldiers that you fed then? Or would it be nurses?
No, so in the Falklands, in fact, actually where I spent most of my career, which was at RAF Digby, it was a tri-service thing. So there was Army, there was Air Force, and there was Navy. And at Digby, we also had some American service people working there as well. So, you know, met lots of people from all different walks of life, fed lots of people from all different walks of life as well. So, yeah, anybody who was there used to come and we used to make sure they were well fed.
That's amazing. Quite a successful chef, you'd say?
I think I was all right.
All right.
No one ever complained.
Well, that's, it's not in contract, is it?
That's true.
Can't complain about the food.
That's true. They don't put it in there, but they should. Perhaps they should. No complaining allowed.
No complaining allowed.
But they never complained at me, so I'll take that as a win.
Yeah, that's a win.
And pretty good at cooking award.
Yeah, pretty good at cooking.
Not terrible at cooking.
I think better than not terrible.
Fine.
Yeah. You got to believe. And then also, I have been hearing through the grapevine that you are also involved with a crochet club hosted by Miss Stubbs, and you're also doing charity work currently. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Of course. Yeah, crochet, another one of my random side quests. but currently, the crochet club is undergoing a really, really brilliant competition slash project about making things called worry worms and worry monsters that are there for children who have parents or relatives who are seriously ill in hospital. Mm. So the idea of the worms would be that the children have something to hold and maybe comfort them while their parents are having a meeting an appointment, sorry, or an operation or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the worry monsters are a little bit more of a, you take this home with you. And this one, the kids who are going through that are going to have so many questions and so many worries, and it must be so scary for them. So this is just a little way for them to perhaps take their thoughts and write them down. And then they pop them in the worry monster's mouth and the worry monster eats them away. and I think from what I've heard and what I've read, this is a useful way for kids to be able to share their feelings without being directly able to communicate. And anything that I can do, and the Crochet Club are doing a brilliant job of that, anything we can do to just make kids a little bit more comfortable in what is a really horrible situation is worth every second I spend on it.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. I think this is probably all that we've got time for today. So I'd like to say thank you very, very much for coming on my podcast. You've been an amazing co-host. And thank you so much thank for you. Telling us about your experiences as well. I hope listeners, you take quite a lot away from this. I think the RAF doesn't, and the forces in general, don't get talked about as being a wider career other than just being a soldier. There's a lot of options, and I think it's definitely worth considering. And if you'd be interested in that, I definitely look up some pathways and maybe get a careers meeting booked or speak to someone you know who might be in the armed forces, or Mr. Carter here, obviously. Absolutely. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have an amazing day. I would also like to just mention, it is also Mr. Carter's birthday on the 15th, which is when this episode should be airing. So if you see him, give him a very big happy birthday. Thank you. I would also like to just mention, it is also Mr. Carter's birthday on the 15th, which is when this episode should be airing. So if you see him, give him a very big happy birthday. Thank you.